From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, The Lord's Faithfulness, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, No Need to Stint. The text is found in Proverbs 28 and verse 10. The upright shall have good things in possession. The book of Proverbs is also a book of promises. Promises ought to be proverbs among the people of God. This is a very remarkable one. We are accustomed to think of our good things as in reversion. But here we are told that we shall have them in possession. Not all the malice and cunning of our enemies can work our destruction. They shall fall into the pit which they have digged. Our inheritance is so entailed upon us that we shall not be kept out of it, nor so turned out of the way as to miss it. But what have we now? We have a quiet conscience through the precious blood of Jesus. We have the love of God set upon us beyond all change. We have power with God in prayer in all time of need. We have the providence of God to watch over us, the angels of God to minister to us, and above all, the Spirit of God to dwell in us. In fact, all things are ours, whether things present or things to come, all are yours. Jesus is ours. Yea, the divine Trinity in unity is ours. Hallelujah! Let us not pine and whine and stint and slave, since we have good things in possession. Let us live on our God and rejoice in Him all the day. Help us, O Holy Ghost.
Here.
In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. This message, Dr. Cairns takes as his text verse 45 of Joshua chapter 21, "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." Now an old man, Joshua looked back over his life of service to the Lord. His experiences included the deliverance from the bondage of Egypt, the passage of the Red Sea, the wilderness wanderings, and eventually the crossing of the Jordan and the conquest of the Promised Land. He was able to testify that the Lord had been faithful to his word in all those long years. From Joshua's words of testimony, Dr. Cairns will draw some encouraging lessons for both the unsaved as well as for the saints of God. We'll see that lost sinners may cast themselves with confidence upon God's offer of salvation in Christ. Then God's people can pray with the assurance that God will answer their prayers. Finally, God's servants may serve the Lord with the confidence that their work for Him will be blessed and rewarded. Now to introduce this message, The Lord's Faithfulness, here is Dr. Cairns.
I want to turn this morning once again to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Many of you were wondering, no doubt, when I dealt with chapter 20 last week and the cities of refuge, well, what's he going to do with chapter 21 with all these cities of the Levites? Well, actually, I'm leaving most of the chapter out, but that's not because there's not much to say on it. It's just to say that we do want to finish the book of Joshua before we finish the millennium. And if you want to study through the 21st chapter of Joshua, you may take a couple of lines of thought that will help you and give you some good material to think on. First of all, the Levites were the Lord's ministers in the land, and he saw the great need to scatter faithful ministers throughout the land. He counted it as one of his great blessings to Israel that he did place faithful ministers of His grace through the land. There is no greater blessing. America's best possible blessing from God is not more sports stars or more politicians or better economists or more small businessmen. No doubt some of these will have an important place, but the greatest blessing God can give to the land is a race of godly preachers. The Lord Jesus said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." There's no more urgently important prayer for Americans to be praying in these days than that God would raise up many young men in this nation to feel the call of God to preach Christ, to go to the places where there are millions, and to go to the places where there are thousands, and to go to the places where there are only hundreds, and spread forth the message of the gospel of saving and redeeming grace. That's one line of thought that will do us good to think on through the 21st chapter of Joshua. There is a wider application, of course, to all that the Levites in the Old Testament not only speak especially of the ministers of God's covenant, but they speak to us in a special way also of every Christian. The Lord Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." That's exactly what he meant the Levites to be in the land of Israel. They were to be the preservative. Sadly, they didn't always, in fact, very quickly they showed this, live up to their high calling, just as so many of God's people today feel to live up to their high calling. But let us learn that God's people are the salt of the earth, scattered through society in order to be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. The true preservative to society will be the faithfulness of the people of God. Never forget that God would have spared Sodom had he found 10 righteous men there. That is always to me an amazing scripture, and it shows you how important it is for God's people to take seriously their role as living witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ in a society that is corrupt and more apostate day by day. So those are some of the things that you may consider. There are others that I'll not go into, for I told you I didn't intend to preach, though I'm very, very tempted to change my mind on the body of the 21st chapter of the book of Joshua. What I want to do this morning is to read the last three verses of the chapter, and then take the final verse as the particular words of our text. "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." Especially the words of that 45th verse. "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." The famous English Baptist preacher Alexander McLaren describes a pyramid in Egypt with the name of the Pharaoh in whose reign it was erected emblazoned on the plaster. However, as the years went by, time and weather worked their will, as it were, and the plaster fell off. And when it did so, there was discovered, cut deep into the rock, the name of the architect who had raised this great edifice. When we read of the conquest of Canaan, we see, as it were, first of all, the plaster. We see the actions of a host of brave men, men like Joshua and Caleb, the amazing Caleb, who was as strong to go out and come in victory after a battle at the age of 85 as he had been as a young man. We see the actions of men like Othniel and the other great commanders and courageous soldiers of the people of Israel. But when the plaster, as it were, falls away, we find that the real architect of Israel's victories was not Joshua or Caleb or any of the other brave commanders or soldiers. The architect of Israel's victories was the Lord. And that is the real significance of our brief Bible reading this morning. The lesson shouldn't be lost on us. You see, more than ever today, I think we tend to make too much of men. Now let's understand, obviously, the Scriptures want us to be realistic. And they tell you, honor to whom honor. And they say that we should give honor to the elders that rule well, and especially those who labor in the word and in doctrine. So the Bible understands that the work of God is carried on in the hands of men. But we ought not to spend too much time elevating man. We tend to focus so much on the actions of man that we lose sight of the real architect of our success. This is true when we look at church history. We have to admit there have been some mighty men. Men of tremendous intellect. Men of tremendous courage. In the month of October, God willing, we'd be getting back to some of our Reformation studies in Reformation Month. And once again, our attention will be taken with the incredible spiritual activity as well as the incredible physical courage of great men of God. Men like Luther. Has there ever been another man like Martin Luther? Despite all that has been said about him in recent days, which merely goes to prove that for all his greatness he was a child of his age, with all the weaknesses of a German in those days. But has the world ever seen another man like Luther? I don't think so. Has the world ever seen another evangelist really like William Farrell, in his way a unique preacher? Has the world ever seen an evangelist, a pastor, a theologian like the great Calvin? I don't think it ever has, and I doubt if it ever will. And yet, behind the men, there stood the Lord. When you look at apostles, the church fathers, the reformers, and great missionaries, men who have done great works for God, we have got to understand that the real architect of their success was their Savior. And you know, that is not only a rebuke to us for making too much of man and too little of the Lord, it is an encouragement to us that the Lord can take the weak things. What was Martin Luther when God took him up? Martin Luther, yes, he was a man of enormous intellect. But in reality, he was a little monk in an Augustinian monastery in an outpost of the Holy Roman Empire, in a place that papal Rome hardly knew existed. And yet that little monk shook the world for God. You see, what an encouragement it is. This comes again and again through history. What was William Carey, the father of the modern missionary movement, the man whom God used perhaps more than any other to stir up the spirit of his church to reach out to the millions of the world's lost? What was William Carey? William Carey was undoubtedly a great preacher and a courageous man, but his position in England was he was a cobbler. He had barely enough money to feed himself week to week. He didn't have the acclaim of this world, but behind him he had the King of Glory. What an encouragement. So often we look out on the world and we say, what can I do? What can I do? I don't have great brains. I don't have great accomplishments. I am not blessed with such tremendous skills. What can I do? The answer is, when Paul asked the question, who is sufficient for these things? He answered in the next breath, our sufficiency is of Christ. And he who took 12 Galilean fishermen, well, more likely 11, since one was not a Galilean, and with them shook the world, he can take us, because he is the true author of the success of his people.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.